Welcome to English with Fraser, the weekly podcast for intermediate English learners who are serious about improving. Whether you're brushing up or building your confidence, join me each week for real conversations, smart tips, and the touch of that British charm. Let's level up your English one episode at a time.
Hello everyone and welcome back to English with Fraser, the podcast that makes English effortless, one episode at a time. And in today's episode, I'm going to tell you about the weekend that just passed, more specifically, this past Saturday. Now, today's episode is a little bit of story time. I'm going to take you with me on a classic British weekend. Boots on, hat firmly in place, ready for the countryside, and dare I say, even some sunshine. So let's get ready for a grand day out at the horse racing. Now, if you've never been to a traditional British race meet outside of the big cities, you're in for quite the treat. It's part sport, part social event, and also part country slash farm festival. All in all, good fun.
Horse racing, old chap. It's the only sport where you lose money faster than the horses run.
Part one, the venue. So this isn't a huge horse racing event such as those at Ascot, Cheltenham or Doncaster. This is a more small, local and locally organised event. So in other words, this event was in some random field in Surrey. Now that's not entirely fair. It wasn't a random field. It's a field that belongs to very wealthy families that own a lot of horses. Now, these horses are often used for one of two things. Either horse racing or also for hunts. Now, what are horse hunts? So, in the old days of England, horse hunts were a big countryside tradition. Early in the morning, riders would meet, dressed smartly in red coats, black boots, and ready for the chase. They would ride big, strong hunting horses, which were specially trained for rough ground and also long rides. Accompanying the horses were also hunting dogs. Now, they're usually foxhounds, and they were trained to pick up on the scent of a fox and lead the riders across fields, woods, streams, which is like a small river. And then once the huntsman gave the dogs the signal, the dogs would take off and run, and the riders would gallop on the horses, following the dogs, jumping over hedges, fences, bushes, anything in its path. Now, obviously, they're trying to hunt the foxes and kill the foxes, so it's quite brutal, and it's a very old-fashioned and also posh. So common folk weren't doing this. Your average person has never witnessed or done this. And it wasn't just about the hunt itself. It was a big social event, a chance for people to show off their horse riding skills, enjoy the countryside, and keep old traditions alive. So this venue was owned by one of these hunts, one of these famous hunting families, and they put on every year this horse racing event. Now, this is the second time I've attended. So I was there last year, and I went with my dad because this is near his house, and we really enjoy going to horse racing occasionally, so every year we'll go and watch some horse racing, maybe 3 times a year, have a few drinks, enjoy some food, and have a bet on the horse racing. So the actual venue itself was just a plain field, and they had cordoned off with fences the racetrack, and the racetrack goes around in a big circle. In the middle, there's the car park, which was again a field. And then around the outside, they had lots of tents and gazebos. And these tents are where they set up food stalls. They had food vans, ice cream vans. They had a bar where you could purchase beer and other alcohols. And they had some portable toilets. So these were all around the outside of the event. And then also there was a long line of bookies. Now, what are bookies? Now, bookies are short for bookmakers. And you'll always find them at horse racing. They're the people or companies who take bets from the public. Now, a bet is when you place money on an outcome with a set amount of odds. And if you win, then you win the money you put on, so your money stake, times the odds that that outcome had. For example, if a horse is 4-1 to win, and you bet £10 on the horse, so the odds are 4-1, so 4/1, and you bet £10, you would win £40 and also keep your £10 stake. So if the horse is 4-1, you put £10 on, you walk away with £50. £40 in winnings and £10 your own stake. Now, the bookies set the odds for each horse, meaning they decide how much you could win if that horse comes first. On race day, you'll see bookies standing by the track or in little stalls, shouting the latest odds and holding colourful boards showing the prices and odds. You hand over your money, you tell the bookie which horse you're backing, so which horse you want to win. And in return, they give you a small betting slip. This betting slip is just a small piece of paper, like a receipt from a restaurant. If your horse wins, then you go back, very excited and happy, show them your betting slip, and you collect your winnings. If you lose, then unfortunately, better luck next time. Now for me, horse racing and placing a few small bets. So my stake is usually £5, so nothing too expensive or serious, just to make it that little bit more exciting.
A bookie, old boy, is the chap who smiles when you lose and disappears when you win.
Now, how to choose the winning horse, or how to decide which horse is your horse? There's no right or wrong answer here. Everyone has their own method and everyone has their own preference. That's half the fun of a day at the races, choosing your horse and cheering that horse on. Now, let's go over a few key strategies that you might see people opting for when they're at the races. Now, some people take it seriously. They study the form guide. They study the form guide like they're solving a great mystery, like they're solving a game of Cluedo, which is a popular mystery who did the murder board game. They can check how the horse has raced before. They can check its previous form. They can check how it runs on different ground. You can have firm ground, soft ground, hard ground. It all depends on the weather and literally how the ground is, how the grass is. You can also study the jockey. So the jockey is the rider. He's often a small fella because jockeys are quite short and also light, so they don't weigh the horse down. And you can even study the reputation of the trainer. Many will tell you there's a science behind it. Now, on the other hand, a lot of people go purely on names. If a horse has a name that sounds strong, or sounds lucky, sounds cheeky, or just reminds you of something funny, people will often go for that horse. I remember last year there was a horse which had a name that was similar to a famous advertisement, a famous commercial in England, and I think we bet on that horse and he did actually win, so there you go. Other people will bet on the colour. We're talking the colour of the jersey that the jockey rides. So if there's a jockey with a bright red hat and a bright red jersey, or you can also go on the colour of the horse. Maybe you like white horses and you see the horses lining up and you go, number three, that looks the horse for me. And actually, before the race, you have the chance to look at all the horses. All the horses get brought out and they do a small lap, just walk around, and you can go there and watch the horses before the race. Now, lastly, you'll always find a couple of cheeky chaps that will go on gut feeling. Number six just looks keen today. That number four, that horse is just telling me. I can just sense it. No statistics, no research, just pure vibes, pure instinct.
Study the form all you like, old boy. But at the end of the day, it's the horse with the sparkle in his eye that usually brings home the bacon.
See, Winston, he's an instinct man. He doesn't need form, stats. He looks that horse in the eye and he says, "Listen, son, you are the horse for me." So, how did the day go? We had 3 pints of beer, which would have lasted 4 hours, so nearly a pint an hour. Then we had some food, so I think I had chips with curry sauce. Have you guys heard of chips and curry sauce? That's another British classic. So as you can tell, without even trying, my Saturday was incredibly British, because after the horse racing, I went to the pub with my dad. We had 2 more pints of lager. Crystal Palace, the team I support, won the semi-final. So we're going to the final, to Wembley. And then me and my dad went to a curry house to have a curry and more beer. Now, I did an episode on why curries are so popular. So if you haven't listened, listen to that episode now. So as you can tell, it was just an incredibly British day. But back to the horse racing. There was 5 races and I started with £30. The first race, unfortunately, there was only 2 horses. So I didn't race in that. Or didn't bet in that. Of course I didn't race. I can't ride a horse, unfortunately. Or outrun a horse, for that matter. There was 4 other races. I bet on all of them. And I won 2 bets out of 4. One of the bets, I only won £2. Because I bet on the favourite. But the other race, I bet £5 and actually won £15. So overall, essentially, I started with £30 and left with £33. So we made a £3 profit. Come on, £3 profit from betting, which I laugh at, but better than nothing, as they say. Better than nothing. Overall, a great day at the races. Incredibly British. A lovely warm day. Nearly 20 degrees. British summertime. We're coming soon.
Remember, my chums, whether you win, lose, or simply sip a pint in the sun, a day at the races is a day well spent. A day at the races reminds us what Britain does best. Fine horses, fine company, and the finest traditions in the world. God save the king, and tally ho.
That's a wrap on today's episode of English with Fraser. I hope you enjoyed and learned something new. Remember, mastering English is all about immersing yourself in natural content. After all, we're making English effortless, one episode at a time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Keep going. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and most importantly, share with a friend, family member, or colleague who also may be learning English. I'll be back soon with more natural English content. Until then, keep practicing, listening, and enjoy the journey. Bye for now.